This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today, I'm pleased to have in the studio with me Sherry Hakala. She founded the Kensington Welfare Rights Union and the National Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. She's now running for sheriff of Philadelphia as a Green. Sherry Hakala, welcome to Progressive Radio.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's great finally to meet you. I've heard about you and read about you over the years and all the great organizing you've been doing. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your background as we get going here?
I'm a formerly homeless mother. I grew up in Minnesota. I have two sons, and I got started organizing out of necessity. I almost froze to death in Minnesota because I couldn't get into a homeless shelter. And so then out of necessity, I found an abandoned house that had heat in it, and I began to take over abandoned houses, not just for myself, but other families, and continued to do that for 25-some years.
And why has housing been such a central issue for you for so long? Why is it important for people in this country, people in Philadelphia, to grab hold of this housing issue once and for all?
Well, we really do have a preventable Katrina. Every day, every 13 seconds, actually, a family is going into foreclosure. And this next year, over another million families are going to lose their homes. And so if we had elected officials that had backbones and put a moratorium forward to stop foreclosures, or if they had forced the banks to use the bailout money to really bail families out, but they never really did, and they never modified anybody's loans, and they got away with murder. And so this question of housing, I see it as a fundamental human right, and we have a responsibility to do something about it.
Well, why don't our politicians have that backbone? Or more specifically, why has President Obama been such an abysmal failure on this issue of foreclosures?
Well, the thing that they say is very true. Everything comes down to money and votes. And I'm learning a lot running for sheriff right now. I'm learning how much I am just as a threat to encourage people to participate in a democratic process by trying to get people out to vote. They just want a certain amount of people that can vote in a certain neighborhood, and they don't want to change those numbers, and they want to stay in the office, and they don't really care about their constituents. They care about the corporations in this country and the ability to be reelected for the next year.
So you think Obama was just playing for Wall Street money? That's the reason he didn't go for a moratorium on foreclosures?
Yes, I think it all comes down to that Wall Street money. And besides, you know, it's not just about Obama. It's that we have an entire, a morally bankrupt system in our country. Our economic system isn't working. And, whether or not we took control of the banks and whether we had, public banks or whatever, we still have a system that really protects corporations and the wealthy over human beings.
Speaking with Sherry Hakala, she's running for sheriff as a Green in Philadelphia. You may know her as the person who was the leader of the Kensington Welfare Rights Union. What should have happened with the banks when they were going bankrupt? Should we have let them collapse, or should the government, if it was going to bail them out, do something for people? And if it should have done something for people, what should that have been?
Well, the banks, our government, our elected officials just handed over billions of dollars with no regulations. And when you turn over billions of dollars to a bank and say, do whatever you want with it, then nothing is going to happen. And so, for example, my sister, Anne, she lived in her home for 20 years. She met every single guideline to get the bailout money. She didn't get the bailout money, and she lost her home after living in it for 20 years.
Yeah, I know Obama had some program that was supposed to help homeowners and barely helped a tiny percentage of them. And, yeah, billions to banks, hundreds of billions of dollars to these banks, and not a penny extracted from the banks for homeowners. I mean, they had the banks dead to rights. Citibank, Bank of America, they were going to go out of business. The executives are going to lose all their bonus money, all their stock options, all that. And the government was the worst bargainer ever. It just said, take the money or not. You want the money? You can have it. Instead of saying, you can't evict anybody. You can't foreclose on anybody. Or you got to reduce everybody's principal. Or you got to freeze people's interest rates. All those options were available if Obama or Bush before him or Paulson or Geithner or Summers or any of those people wanted
to
do
they're all guilty, not just the banks. Our elected officials could have stepped in and forced the banks to do something about it, and it didn't happen. And a combination of our elected officials not doing anything, the fact that I've seen the problem continue to intensify, and the fact that the banks are refusing to modify loans and continuing to throw families out of their homes led me to, you know, make a decision I thought I'd never make in my life, which was to run for sheriff.
Have you ever run for anything before?
No. And, you know, I've been asked several times in the last 30 years of my life. And I said, you know, that sounds as appealing as having somebody run me over with a truck. So I have had no political aspirations in my life.
Speaking with Sherry Honkala, she founded the local, the Kensington Welfare Rights Union and the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. She's been an activist in Philadelphia for many, many years. And, you know, she's been arrested, I read, somewhere in between 80 and more than 200 times. And now she's running to be on the other side of the jail. She's running to be sheriff of Philadelphia. How is it that you got arrested so many times?
I've been arrested over 200 times for justice. And most of those arrests have been because I've been fighting to provide people with the basic necessities of life. Most of the time, they've been for housing issues. I've been arrested with children, doing sit-ins. I've been arrested with seniors. I've been arrested with veterans. Many of my charges, many people aren't aware of, have been very serious charges. Many times I was facing up to 22 years in prison.
What was the most serious charge?
22 years when I organized a small group, 200 homeless families in front of the Constitution Center on opening day of the Constitution Center. And all of the past presidents were invited, and they didn't find it amusing. And so I just showed up at the Constitution Center with 200 homeless people, and they charged me with aggravated assault on a police officer. And I was literally standing there with a mattress, and those were my charges. And, you know, I faced 22 years in prison. And luckily, thank God for independent media, because everywhere I go now, if I make sure that there's a camera there so that I can stay on the outside of prison and still be a mother to my children.
So someone was filming and saw that you didn't assault a police officer.
Yeah, I had a police room packed with several different ranking officers from many different law enforcement agencies. And they were very excited. They thought I was going to go to prison that day. And it was like the O.J. Simpson scene where the lawyer pulled out the recording and played it for the judge. And, you know, the fall guy, one police officer, he ended up losing his job. But it was actually all the ranking officers that should have lost their jobs.
Because they were all in on concocting evidence against you?
Yes. They all took the stand and perjured themselves. And all of these things, you know, if people are ever interested, they should look through the archives in Philadelphia. It's some devastating stuff, which is not just about Sherry Honkala, but is about how, you know, billions of dollars are used to prevent, you know, to take away from people's civil liberties. And I think that we're really in trouble if you can talk about putting somebody in prison for 22 years who just organizes 200 people to talk about being angry about being homeless.
And your experience with that concocted evidence, does that make you conclude that that happens quite often?
Oh, absolutely. You talk about somebody who's isolated, marginalized, and has no voice. That's somebody that doesn't have housing in America.
And as running for sheriff, housing, I take it, is your top issue. What do you want to do?
Well, the only two things that a sheriff does basically in Philadelphia is it transports prisoners, makes sure that courtrooms are safe, and throws people out of their homes and sells their homes. And so, you know, I figure I have a lot of courtroom experience and a lot of transport experience. And I know what that would be like to have that experience happen with some dignity. And then, you know, as sheriff, I will use selective enforcement and refuse to throw families out of their homes. I'll be given writs to place on families' doors, and instead I will instruct my deputies to go out and act as social workers and figure out ways to keep families in their homes.
I'm speaking with Sherry Hankala. She's running for sheriff as a Green in Philadelphia. She used to head up the Kensington Welfare Rights Union. You may, if you're listening to this show in your car or in your kitchen or in your office, think this idea of a sheriff not cooperating with eviction notices is something that's never happened before. It's just highly irregular, when in actual fact, in the 1930s, it happened quite a lot. And it's actually happened a bit in the last several years.
Yes, definitely. If you look at farmers and the whole struggle here in the Midwest around throwing farmers off their land, and you know, many different law enforcement officials participated in helping family farmers hold on to their farms. Many judges in different parts of the country right now are just deciding to put them on the back burner and not even get to those cases because they don't want to throw families out of their homes. So we're hoping that this will be a growing trend, and we'll begin to see people across the entire country decide, you know, if they're not going to change things in the halls of Congress, if they're not going to force the banks to modify these loans, then we're going to have to go back to the days of the 30s where we get together, deputize ourselves, and move families back in their homes and encourage law enforcement officials to actually take positions on these very important moral issues.
So there's a real good precedent for it. And I think in somewhere in Michigan, they weren't a sheriff was doing the same thing in the last couple of years.
Yes, in Detroit, and as well as Cook County in Illinois.
In the Chicago area. Now, one reason for people to stay in their homes, even if they're being threatened with foreclosure, is, you know, a lot of times these banks cannot produce legitimate documents to get them out. So if they just sat there or went to court and contested, got a good lawyer, of course, that costs money lots of times. You know, the banks just can't really find the documents they need to actually legally kick someone out.
Yeah, we just finally, it took us 4 years, but we saved Leslie Park's home from IndyMac in the Twin Cities area in Minneapolis. And
tell us about her.
You know, she had been in her house for like 25 some years, and they couldn't tell who actually owned the property. And we were able to get lawyers from the National Lawyers Guild involved in that process. That's one of the number one problems that many homeowners across the entire country have to face, is what lawyer wants to step forward and challenge the banks? Zero. And so luckily, you know, lawyers from the National Lawyers Guild are able to take a few cases here and there in different parts of the country. But by and large, families are left to represent themselves. I just tried to represent a young man that was dying of AIDS, that was losing his condominium. And I went in, and he had paid forever, and he was actually just a renter, and there was an owner. And he had paid every month on time for 8 years, and he's dying of AIDS right now. And I spoke before the judge about 2 days ago and said, you know, judge, if you throw him out right now, this can literally kill him. I said, at a minimum, can you give me a couple weeks?
What did the judge say?
And the judge said no. And the bank, you know, Bank of America just sat there. And, you know, even something like publicly putting on the record that ejecting a family from their home could actually kill them, the judge did not hesitate for a moment, and neither did the bank. And so that's why it's really important that we don't get caught up in this whole thing about law. There's a higher law, and that has to do with humanity and keeping people alive and taking care of them. And, you know, many unjust laws have had to have been challenged throughout history, and this one has to be challenged as well. We can come up with any other kind of solution other than throwing families out on the street.
At Kensington Welfare Rights Union, Sherry Hunkelow, you did a lot of squatters' rights work, and you had people occupy buildings that were vacant. Is that still one of your activities, and are you still a proponent of that?
I still teach people across the entire country how to take over abandoned government-owned properties, because our position is that there shouldn't be abandoned houses when there's homeless people, that those two things should be put together. They can provide employment as well as safe places for people to live, particularly women that are victims of domestic violence. Battered women's shelters were just supposed to be a stop on the Underground Railroad, and a stop towards going to long-term affordable housing. And now, again, every battered women's shelter across the country is full. And so very difficult choices are having to be made. Either take an abandoned house, put a woman in there, and have her safe from violence and potentially being killed, or have her stay in that violent situation. And I think that the answer is to not have her stay in that violent situation.
Mm-hmm. And so you're advocating taking over abandoned government buildings. What about abandoned privately owned buildings?
Well, I think that just, tactically, that's a crazy thing to do right now, because if anybody hasn't tasted the hand of the state, it doesn't feel very good. And so we're not that as organized right now in this country, and we don't want to go in and take somebody's private property and that kind of thing. Like in Philadelphia, we have 40,000 vacant properties and land, and most of that is owned by the city, and it's publicly owned.
So there is enough city publicly owned buildings to
house everybody.
Really, to house everyone right now.
Exactly. Hmm. It's all a question of greed. It's all a question of our elected officials not finding this section of the population as something that's worthy of something as basic as housing.
Well, what do these elected officials say when you go to them, Sherry Hunkelow, and you say, look, you got these 40,000 public buildings here just lying vacant. We've got all these homeless people. Why don't we put the two together?
They say that, it's a great idea. Many of them appear on press conferences with me. Many of them say great speeches. And then 25 years later, there's still the same vacant land and still nothing that's taking place.
Now, you're running for sheriff as a Green. One of your policies, I read, is also doing community land trusts. Explain what that is and how that would work.
Well, the importance of community land trust is that a community can actually decide what happens to vacant land and vacant properties in their neighborhood. As opposed to bankers and developers and speculators coming in and saying, we're going to put this Walmart here and you don't have any choice. It puts the control back into the neighborhood. And particularly, it really helps with the whole foreclosure issue, because a community land trust, everybody's made aware of the fact when a home is potentially up for foreclosure. And it forces that community to come together to do something about it. It also creates long-term affordable housing. So somebody that, participates in a community land trust, they can't just decide that, they're going to move and up the value to, $2 million or something and gentrify. They have to keep it at an affordable rate, and that house belongs to the trust.
And how do you establish this trust or get the thing going?
Well, that's the difficult part, which is that you have to have that passed in city council. And so this is the challenge that I'm taking on right now with a coalition of other housing groups in Philadelphia called the Campaign to Take Back Vacant Land. And so we are fighting for a community-controlled land trust.
And how's that going? Do you have allies at the city council?
Well, right now we have a lot of commitments from several city council members, and hearings are supposed to begin this fall. So we're going to see how that goes.
You mentioned a little earlier in our conversation that you were used to being transported by sheriffs, and you want to see that done in a dignified way. One undignified thing that a lot of sheriffs are doing in this country is sending prisoners over to the immigration authorities. What's your view of that?
I think that we're a land of immigrants, and that we I'm not in the business of separating families and deporting them. And I'm not happy with President Obama's recent decision to only deport illegals. I think that the way things are set up here in this country, just for American citizens, let alone immigrants, to be poor in America is to be seen as a criminal. And so the focus has to be about how do we create the kind of jobs and ways that people can contribute to society. And I really refuse to proceed from this notion of scarcity, that there's not enough to go around and that we've got to cut back and all of these kinds of things. There's plenty for everybody. We just got to figure out how to start sharing. And that includes embracing our immigrant brothers and sisters because they're human beings and they should be able to, they work here, they work hard, they contribute to the wealth of this nation, and we should provide the basic necessities of life for them.
Sherry Hunkla, how do we create those jobs that you think we're able to create and share more of this wealth of this country that goes so much to the top?
Well, I think we could start with, taking the money from the military and investing that in creating real green jobs in this country. There's so much work that has to be done that, we definitely don't have a shortage. But, if we just, really examined the military budget and spoke with some of the experts in this country on how to convert that money into creating long-term living wage jobs for people, we'd be just fine.
I'm Matt Rothschild. You're listening to Progressive Radio. I'm the editor at The Progressive Magazine. My guest this week, Sherry Hunkla, who was one of the leaders of the Kensington Welfare Rights Union for a long time. She's now running for sheriff in Philadelphia as a Green. Tell me about your connection with the Green Party and why you decided to run as a Green.
Well, they came into my office in February, and they sat down and they said, Sherry, we have a great idea. We think that if you ran for sheriff of Philadelphia, that would take the foreclosure issue to a national level. And then after I had a heart attack,
really? No.
I felt like having a heart attack. I thought they were going to say city council. I thought they were going to say mayor, anything other than sheriff. But then after I created a list of 100 people that I respect and admire and are mentors of mine in the country, and I called all 100 of them, and I tried to ask them leading questions to have them tell me, no, don't run. But every single person I asked said not only that I should, but that I had a responsibility to.
Who is one of the most influential mentors that you have right now?
Oh my God, there are so many of them. I would say one would be Tom Earle, and he's a leading disability activist in Philadelphia, and he's the director of Liberty Resources, which is one of the largest disability organizations in the country. And I just watched 4 months ago, he had to lay off 180 people with disabilities that'll probably never work again another day in their life.
Mm. That must have been painful for him, painful for them too. And what was his advice to you?
His advice is how much worse does it have to get? You know that you have to step forward. You know all the people that are in the anti-poverty movement and world. You've done everything that they've said. Go to Congress, beg, lobby, do whatever. Things are worse. They're going to get worse than the Great Depression because we're not going to have another great New Deal. And we have electronics and technology. Those jobs are never coming back. And so separate of building some kind of independent political movement in this country, that's totally separate of their corporate money and values and greed, nothing is going to change. And so I decided to run.
Now, as an organizer in Philadelphia for many, many years, you've got to have knocked on more doors than any politician, any mayor, any city council person. I suppose you're knocking on doors again. People, I'm sure, recognize you.
Yes, I thought it was, and Philadelphia had record heat this summer. I got used to walking around. I had to get something 1,800 signatures and I got 4,000 signatures. And, you know, we did that in days where it was like 103, 104 degrees outside. And we'd walk around with ice bags and stuff like that on our heads. But
better you than me, I gotta say.
It was, you know, it is quite a difficult process. And, you know, people are just, you know, everybody is just embracing me from whatever community that they come from. And it's really exciting. And I think that we're going to see something really interesting happen this November in Philadelphia because people are just tired of the conditions in which they're living. You know, my neighborhood, the number one source of income is used to be welfare. And with the dismantling of the social welfare system, the number one source of income is drugs. And so most of the days of my life, I'm pretty much like I live and work in an emergency hospital room having to deal with kinds of crises that people would never have to generally deal with in their life. And the Inquirer just came out with another story that said we have the second highest rate of hunger now in the country. And so, you know, people are busy talking about all these diversions, you know, the flash mobs of African-American youth in Philadelphia. Well, hell, if we've got, you know, the second highest rate of hunger of children in the country, you know, all of us better start organizing some flash mobs and get angry and do something, you know, start the bread riots of the 1930s and start feeding and housing people.
Hmm. So you're running to win, it sounds like.
I'm running to win.
And do you think you have a chance?
I have a really good chance, especially if your listeners get involved, push PayPal, donate that $10, come for a vacation in Philadelphia, see all your historical sites, and participate in making history with me.
I'm speaking with Sherry Hunkla. She's run for sheriff as a Green out of Philadelphia. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of The Progressive Magazine, and you're listening to Progressive Radio. You've talked about this terrible problem of poverty and hunger and homelessness, and a lot of it is an issue related to children. And I know in your work before and your work now, you do focus a light on children. How is the issue of housing a children's issue?
You know, the number one group of homeless people in this country is children. And it amazes me that every single day, now I have two offices. You know, my day job is the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, and then my night job is running for sheriff. And in both of those offices, those are always filled with tons of children that have no place to sleep. Where, you know, last week in Philadelphia, I had to fight like hell to try and get a pregnant mother and her one-year-old someplace to sleep. And it shouldn't have to be me having to organize an uprising to have someplace for a pregnant mother and a one-year-old to sleep. We've got to do something about it.
Well, we sure do. And I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. My guest has been Sherry Hunkla. She was with the Kensington Welfare Rights Union and is currently at the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. She's running for sheriff out of Philadelphia. Her last name, Hunkla, H-O-N-K-A-L-A. Thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by MUFA. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.